Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go! 1-on-3! 1-2-3!
You're listening to the best of the Dolphins.
Yeah, y'all boys, man. Keep hands up to 1-2.
A weekly mix of AM 560 Sports, WQAM's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Kimbo Camper is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Before we talk football, I remind you the best place to get geared up with Canes or Dolphins merch is Caneswear in Davie or online at caneswear.com. Bo, famously part of the Dolphins killer bees. That was a defense that you would write home about. I mean, that was exactly what
Bo
we've seen.
Now you see him.
Now you see him on CBS4. He was hot, too, after the first two games of the season. I saw a post that he made on social media. I think it was after week two. Like, Bo Camper was hot after the first couple of games. What about last night, Bo? You can't be super disappointed after that performance last night, can you?
Well, first let me say that, it's been a long time. I thought I was banned from the Solana Hochman and Crowder show that I couldn't wasn't going to be on. So I'm glad you got me on for this one.
We do shadow ban people from time to time. We don't tell them why, but we do shadow ban people. And you noticed it. You were shadow banned. But it was Jimmy.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Yeah, with Jimmy, yeah. I have a hard time talking to Jimmy. I think most people probably have a hard time talking to Jimmy.
Hey, Bo, I just want you to know I voted against you coming on.
y'all remember how big Bo is? Y'all better leave Bo alone now. Bo get his hands on you.
Hey, you keep messing with Keon Smith on the air. I don't think you remember how big he is.
So to answer your question, last night could have gone a lot of different ways. Certainly the game in Indianapolis was just a disaster of epic proportions. I don't know that I've ever seen a game that was so putrid as that game. And then you saw a little light when you come back for game two, and you don't win the game, but you kind of saw that offense, kind of saw the big play come back into the game. And so last night, I think they were a 12-point dog have given a point at point one way or the point or half point one way or the other, and no one really gave him a chance. And I think I think Mike McDaniel called a hell of a game last night, and I think they kind of went away a little bit from trying to be a cute team with these little different plays. It just went back to playing football. Let's put our hand in the dirt. Let's block. Let's tackle. Let's get physical. And I think they did. They ran the ball a lot. They ran the ball well. And so, maybe there's a light at the end of the tunnel. And so they got about 10 days before the Jets come to town, and we'll see where it goes from there.
And Bo, I know you've seen it because I saw it. The interception at the end. People are acting like this is the square root of 3 or some conjuncture mathematical problem. Tua didn't see them jump into cover three when the safety rolled down and he threw it right to the curl player, where the linebacker goes hook to curl, three went to the flat, you push to the curl. Like, is it just Tua didn't see the coverage? Because everybody's trying to make this like it's this big ordeal. That was an easy thing to see.
So we've been during the preseason when I was doing the color on the preseason games, we'd go into the production meetings. And we were talking to Zach Wilson about, you know, Mike McDaniel's offense. He says, well, it's a little scary because, you know, at some points he says, look, you need to trust that the receiver is going to be where he's supposed to be, even if it means throwing it as a strong safety or a safety when you don't see the receiver in sight. And so that's part of Mike's offense. It's like, you know, throwing it that safety and just expect that the receiver is going to undercut the safety and catch the football. So I think that to me brings a lot of, whoa, I don't know if I want to do that into that. So I think it may be a part of what Mike's teaching. It may be a part of you know, look, he's had, what, three, four interceptions in the first three games. And they just happen. So, and sometimes they just happen, you know. It just seems to happen a little more. And I thought Tua, for the most part, had a pretty good game. You know, fumbled a snap one time, and then had the interception. But I think the disturbing thing is it just happens too many times, doesn't it? It's just, you know, you're there, you feel good, and all of a sudden it's like even the week prior, you know, you go into that game, you can win that game, and the next thing you know, he throws it to the other team. So. It's the one thing now with football, NFL, college football, any Tom, Dick, or Harry can get on these sites where they show you the game films of the all 22 or whatever they call it, and they become geniuses in schematics, right? And so I don't pay much attention to that chatter. I really don't.
Bo, I'm interested to kind of get your take on the defense in terms of, we know week one against Indy was just, it was a disaster. I mean, the Colts scored on every possession. And I think last week on Sunday,
sums it up. That's a good disaster. Yeah.
No, but Bo, on Sunday against New England, it started that way as well. And then finally there seemed to have been some momentum defensively. And then yesterday, the exact same thing happens on the defensive side of the ball where, and I know you're going up against the Bills. Like, it's Josh Allen. I get that. But they look like a different defense in late second quarter and then in that third quarter as well. Did you see any adjustments that Weaver made? Was it just guys making plays finally? Like, what changed to where they were once again getting gashed and then they were getting stopped consistently?
Well, so there's a couple things on that. I think, you know, Channing, when you look at the match of football, you know, these teams now have come. They start out with like two down linemen, two tackles, and that's the only people that have their hand in the dirt. You got two outside rushers because they're so hell bent on putting pressure on the quarterback that they're willing to abandon, you know, a lot of different things that you need to do in the scheme of a defense. And so you've got two big guys that are supposed to anchor the middle of the line of scrimmage. And then you got two pass rushers on the outside, and they're standing there, Channing, in pass rush stances, right? Staggered feet, ready to rush the pass. And then all of a sudden, when the run comes, especially if it comes from the guard outside, now they've got to stand up. Now they've got to set the edge. Now they've got to do all these things, but they got to do it out of a staggered stance. It's like going from a pass rush. Oh shoot! I gotta square up a little bit, and play the run. And I think that's been a little bit of an issue. And look, it's not Anthony Weaver's not the only guy that's playing that kind of thing. Everybody seems to be playing it. But I think what happened last night, because in the first quarter it was the same old story. In the first quarter, you couldn't stop them. And then I think what they started doing, they started bringing in more. They went more to a more of a traditional 3-4 kind of a look, where you put a nose tackle in there, two tackles or ends, whichever you can call it, what do you want to call them now, And I think that's what, but you're right, Sean. In about the middle of the second quarter into the second half, I thought they played more the way we expected them to play at the beginning of this season. And look, the other thing is, you know, they're rotating a lot of guys in there. And a lot of guys they're rotating are rookies, the young rookies, the guys that, you know, Kenneth Grant, Jordan Phillips.
Yeah, Jalen Phillips.
Jordan Phillips, moving those, rotating those guys, rotating those guys up. And look, they're rookies. See, they're going to make mistakes and they're going to have to see things. So I think it's a combination of things. But to me, I think it's a little schematically tough to play run when you're in a pass kind of situation with only two guys inside. But I think putting another guy in there and going that little, giving a nose tackle with two defensive ends, I think helped him a little bit last night. But look, that Buffalo offensive line is certainly got to be one of the top two or three in the National Football League.
And Bo, just to add on to that, like if you look at the top teams now, the Eagles, the Lions, you look at the Ravens, you look at the Bills, they're running the ball. They're playing old school football when Elvis went to the wide open, you know, running dash and track meet type stuff. And they're going back to when we played, when you were beating people in the head, and it's starting to work and teams got to adjust to it, Bo. But I got to ask you, you talk about rotation, Bo. Why in the hell is your highest paid 300-pound, 30-year-old, 6'6" D tackle on punt return? He doesn't know how to block a punt. He's never done it in his life, Bo. That upset me more than the interception.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of things. I noted when we were up in Indianapolis for the first game, I noticed at one point they were dropping Kenneth. I saw it one time. They dropped Kenneth Grant into coverage from an inside tackle position, and he kind of stumbled over the receiver. It was a back that caught the ball. And I'm going, what are you dropping? First of all, the guy's a rookie. Second of all, you're dropping a defensive tackle in like a zone blitz kind of a situation. That to me was odd. So I don't know. I don't know what they're trying to do with some of these defenses. But, you know, I think last night, and I mean, what I said going into the game, if you want to win this game, you know, let's not try to trick anybody. Let's just go back to old school football where you all block, you tackle, you get physical, and just let that be your calling card. Instead of trying to, you know, do some scheme or scheme this and scheme that, you know, and trick them along the way. And I think they kind of – I think they may be leaning a little bit more that way now than what they started with earlier in the season. And, you know, hopefully they continue to do it. Because, look, they got offense. They got rookies coming in on offense. You got Ollie coming in. You got Savaya and I in there. You've got some other guys that are coming in. They're off at defense. You've got a bunch of rookies. And look, they're just – look, I think it's a good thing to get them in there, but they're going to make mistakes. And so part of that – part of what's happening too, I think, is the growing pains you're seeing with a number of young guys that you're hoping to be your future, and they're stumbling around a little bit right now. But going back, I kind of lost it, I kind of got out of the way, but – so anyway, you have Zach in there, and Zach just, you know what Zach's gonna try to pummel the long snapper, and then he ran over the guy, which he didn't expect to do. Then he stumbled, and you know, you got a guy that's, you know, 330, 340 pound, whatever he is, kind of on one foot stumbling down. You know, it's hard for a guy like that to gather himself and get out of the way. And I think he just, you know, it's one of those things where he just ran into the kicker and. But unfortunately, again, you do it at a time that you couldn't do it.
Kim Bocamper, you are no longer shadow banned from the show. You have proven yourself worthy. Jimmy, will you agree to remove the shadow ban of Kim Bocamper?
I agree.
All right. Jimmy has signed off on it, Bo.
So Jimmy, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And I love the entree to the show with you being the conduit.
Thank you.
Look at that. You made his day, Bo. That was very nice of you. Is it is Monday night, a week from Monday, against the Jets a must win, or are we beyond must wins already in this season? Like, let's just get through the season.
Yeah, but look, if you lose to the Jets somehow, you will have lost to everybody in the AFC East, which which completely takes you out of any chance of winning the division. No chance of winning the division. And it puts you in a situation where you're going to be struggling the rest of the way just to get a wild card spot. And so, and look, that again, as I said, I thought Mike called a really good game. But if you lose to the Jets, you go 0-4, you go 0 for the division, something's got to give at that point.
Yeah, that would be that would probably be a breaking point. We'll talk to you throughout the season, Bo. We appreciate it.
Bye, guys. Yes,
there you go, Kim Bocamper. Always enjoy talking to him. I don't know why we haven't had him on more, but it's, I think, because of Jimmy.
Damn, Jimmy.
All right, Hard Rock Bet.
Cool. Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jimmy.
The Miami Dolphins lose yesterday, gentlemen, and they have dropped to 0-3. The Zach Sealer roughing into the punter penalty was a backbreaker, and then Tua throws the game sealing interception. Technically, the Dolphins could try to get a stop, but you just knew that wasn't going to happen. And that is all she wrote. Dolphins dropped to 0-3. On Thursday night football.
No one saw that coming, right? None of us had, as bad as some of you thought the Dolphins were going to be, none of us thought 0-3 was a possibility.
No. Not in a million years. Like, I thought there was no way they lose to the Colts. They got embarrassed by them. Yep. You knew the Bills are going to be a tough game, and I didn't know what the Pats were going to be, but yeah, I never thought 0-3 would be a... We even
I think we looked at
it.
The beginning of the schedule. We said, hey, Colts, Patriots, Jets, you probably got three wins there, so at least you bank a few wins at the beginning of the season. But
I said 3-1, and then we're going to get into the tough part of the schedule.
Well, I actually think it's kind of easy coming up, isn't it? I mean, I say that, you know, with a grain of salt, because all the teams looking at the Dolphins on their schedule are saying, oh, it gets kind of easy here. We play the Dolphins.
No. But in terms of how it looks later on, like, you have matchups, the Browns, the Jets, the Carolina Panthers, like, there's winnable games. I mean, the Dolphins, guys, the Dolphins, if they don't make any sort of major changes here, they're probably going to win 6 to 7 games, or five to six games at least.
So let's say they've started 0-3. Let's say they beat the Jets. Do we think they'll beat the Jets Monday night at home? Toss up
with the points. Toss up.
They're not going to be getting points. Yeah.
Actually, guys, Darren Waller's supposed to play that game on Monday night. So yeah, I've got the Dolphins by 20. Yeah. I got the Dolphins by 20.
That's fair. Because then you got the Panthers after that. I know Solana loves Bryce Young.
They're not
a believer in him. I think the Dolphins can beat the Jets, beat the Panthers. Then they've got the Chargers. That doesn't look good because they look good.
Mm-mm.
And you could beat the Browns. Man, I don't even think they could beat the Falcons.
No, Falcons are rolling.
They've got the Commanders later on. How long is Jaden Daniels going to be out? Do we know? I know Marcus Mariota is starting this weekend for the Commanders.
He's not going to be out until Thanksgiving.
Damn it.
It's November 16th.
Damn it.
He has a sprained ankle. Steelers, Bengals, Bucks. This schedule is not easy, fellas. I'm not going to lie to you.
It's why you had to win those first two games. It's why you had to take advantage of the early. I mean, you know, we talked about this before the season. They had to take advantage of the early games. They needed a fast start. Not looking good. 13-4 still in play, though, Hawk. No. 13-4 still in play.
just the still scenario. They can beat the Jets and they can beat the Panthers. That's 2-3. They're not beating the Chargers. That's 2-4. Now they're 3-4 after the Browns game. The Browns are bad. 3-4? Is that like fireable? You know, that's what we have to do that now.
Well, it's 3-4 with zero hope of ever beating a good team. So I don't think there's much. I just don't think there's much that can happen this season unless you believe that there's going to be this miraculous turnaround. Do you see any way towards the end of the season that they compete with Baltimore or Buffalo when Buffalo comes to town?
No, and
but you guys, you're taking away Crowder. You're leaving that game yesterday saying they've got to make a change at head coach. I'm not trying to defend Mike McDaniel here. I'm not trying to defend Mike McDaniel.
I just don't
think
he's going to last beyond this season because I don't think there's going to be enough this season. I'm telling you, last night was the first night that I sat on the couch and smiled at the game plan that Mike McDaniel called. Like, I felt good about it because I really like him and I've enjoyed rooting for him for three seasons. And so, like, that felt good to me last night.
Because we were talking about lack of culture, losing the locker room, players quitting on him. Hawk, you mentioned after New England, didn't look like a team that quit on him. And yesterday, bottom line, and again, Mike McDaniel, I agree, shouldn't make it past this season. I think we've seen the body of work. But man, I came away from that game yesterday saying Mike McDaniel put his team in a position to win, coached a great game yesterday against a team that's owned him, and his captain on the defensive side of the football let him down, and the highest paid player, the face of the organization in Tua Tagovailoa, let him down. Wasn't Mike McDaniel. I don't know how anybody could leave that game saying they've got to fire Mike McDaniel.
Alana, I love, who was it, Kyle Long that said this. The organization, whatever he said, it's not just Mike McDaniel. It's a bigger, sure. You brought up the captain, you brought up Tua. Is Tua the guy? Because they were roasting Tua on the broadcast. Is Tua the guy? You paid Sealer. You've paid all these people. Are they really the people to put you in position? That's a Chris Greer thing of the decisions made on the roster. Can Mike McDaniel take this team to win a playoff game? Even after what you saw last night and he called a good game, he hasn't won a playoff game yet.
Well, also, you'd have to ignore what happened game one and two and only start judging him what happened last night, which isn't fair either.
No, but that's my point. Like, hey, I think everybody is on the same page at this point. I think after week one, this core, this window is long gone. Like, you have to total reset. And I'm not saying, you know, get rid of every player on the team. I think there's some young, decent talent that you want to build around. But guys, let's be honest here. I mean, Tua Tagovailoa is not going to lead you anywhere as your starting quarterback. I'm sorry if you disagree with that.
Not based
I'm sorry.
On what we've seen through three games this season.
And he played a decent game yesterday, and he showed mobility. And there's some positive takeaways. And I'm not even blaming the interception completely on him, even though it is his fault. But like this team, this roster build is done. It's cooked. And I think you have to clean house at the end of the season. I'm just not saying, hey, right now, the fix is firing Mike McDaniel, because what does that do? You're taking away your play caller who yesterday called a great game. I don't understand how that fixes anything in the short term.
I just don't think that if they start 0-4 and they've lost to every team in their division, that there's much hope for him to control the locker room and the team and whatever.
Like,
it just is what it is. You could say, oh, he's gotten precipitously better from week one to week four. Oh, they're starting to get it, but it's like, what are you doing?
The thing with Tua, and I don't know if I'm getting caught up, and the philosopher Denzel said, if you have no information, you're uninformed. If you have all the information, you're misinformed. So this morning, I went down a Tua wormhole of this video that everybody was playing with the Brants and the what's his name, Baldies and the Achos and the. And they were showing more than the interception on Tua. So I might be misinformed by watching this for 2 hours this morning. But Tua, he might not be that dude that's going to win that playoff game for
him. He certainly doesn't look like it, yeah.
Might?
Solana, I've been arguing this. I'm giving you some credit, but I don't want to agree with you because it always backfires on me. He might not be that dude that we need to win that playoff game we're hunting for.
I think yesterday, I'm so sick of like people analyzing the one interception. Like if it proves anything, oh, look, Tua can't read a deep. Like Tua literally completed that pass last week against New England. The Buffalo Bills middle linebacker saw the tape, recognized how the Dolphins came out, lined up, and he knew exactly where the ball was going, but also the offensive line. I mean, something that really bothered me, and it goes back to Mike McDaniel, Keon Smith yesterday started at right guard, started at right guard last week as well. The Dolphins were rushing the football. They looked good, and I'm not saying he played great. We'll have to look at how he graded out, but they replaced him with the backup center in Brunskill. Why? That's the guy who literally got embarrassed. And on that interception, Tua has a 350-pound guy running straight at his face. He had to get rid of the ball quickly. I hate the overanalyzing of one play. Bottom line, the offensive line, the right guard got blown up, Brunskill. Tua had somebody in his face. He had to get rid of the ball quickly. And the middle linebacker, Crowder, just made a good play, made a great read, studied great tape, and knew where the ball was going. Tua makes that throw a million times. That specific play shouldn't tell anybody anything other than Tua in the clutch, not so great. Dolphins offensive line, trash. Body of work, though, guys. Come on. What are we doing here? Tua's a good average quarterback. He is not elite. Period. End of story. And he'll never be
better than average before this season. He was better than average.
Oh, he's a starter. He's one of the best 32 quarterbacks in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But can Tua get to the guys' names we bring up? Lamar's and Burrow's and even Herbert is looking amazing this season.
Yeah.
Has Tua hit his ceiling?
I think so.
I started feeling that way last night.
Yes.
Because even during a good game, you're not just overly impressed by these passes here. He's making.
I mean, his passing yardage was anemic. Even though he was having a decent game and they were in it at Buffalo, the yardage was anemic.
8 for 11 for 81. Huh?
I mean, that's not a guy that you pay that much money to. Like that's what you get from someone who you're using as a band-aid for a season or two, and hey, don't hurt us too bad.
Jake
Browning now starting for the Bengals. Watch his numbers. They're not gonna be impressive, but he's gonna throw for two something.
But really quickly, because I know we're up against it, I get what you're saying about the yardage. That's frustrating. But there's guys like Josh Allen. He can go out there and have a game. For example, last year against the Dolphins, he averaged less than 200 yards passing. He didn't need to pass. But then when the game is down to the wire, late in that fourth quarter last year in Buffalo, he made plays. I don't care if Tua has 500 yards or 44 yards. But at the end of the day, in the clutch, you have to perform. That's when you have to turn on the lights, Hawk, and go and get your team in a position to win the game. And for two straight weeks, when the season looks like it's totally lost, he threw an interception. Like that, I don't focus on like the stats.
Josh Allen, though, when he's got anemic throwing yards, he's still going to have 45 yards rushing and,
for sure,
you know, two scrambles.
He's
going to
win you the
game. Like,
he's going to win you the game.
Listen, man, we haven't brought it up. The underhand pitch touchdown to the come, like, you're,
oh my God,
you're little babying us. I do that in the backyard.
He was toying with that defense, toying with them. That was unbelievable. I jumped off my couch. Man.
I don't, what do you call Solana glazing? I didn't want to glaze today, but it was some impressive things done last night.
That's why Tua was glazing him right before the game. It's like, oh, he can do everything I can't do.
But 10 out of 10 times, if we're looking at that same thing, you know, I think I'd still try to work that timing of hitting that that spot. And I think the linebacker made a great play on that.
Tell me how you feel about it now, child.
All right, Dad. When I was young, my daddy turned on the TV.
Uh-huh. That's what my daddy did to me.
And there it began when he said, girl, listen to me.
Oh, this is sounding way too familiar.
Then there's the fans, the team in orange and blue. They never win.
That's still true.
But love them just like I love you.
Oh, man, sounds like it's happening all over again.
Daddy made me love dun, Dolphins. I'm sorry did that. Really messed you up.
But it's my lot to love the Dolphins, although expect no rain. Daddy made me love the Dolphins. I hope you're still hanging with me. To love the Dolphins, although they make me cry.
A lot of crying. All right, we say on that behalf, again, my brother-in-law and my nephew, thank you for the great work. Many, many years ago, always appreciate that. Don't like playing it, but kind of where we are, man. Hey, great effort last night. I heard that. Oh, my gosh, we're getting better. We're getting better. We're still losing. We're 0-3. That's not the goal. The goal is not, hey, we only lost by 10 and we messed up a couple plays. Maybe we could have won. Well, looked like a lot of the same stuff. You just heard the two plays, Zach Sealer's play on an all-out hustle play up the middle, and it clearly hit him. And they go down and score, go ahead, touchdown at that point, 28-21. And then Tua has got a chance, great field position down right at about the 20-yard line, and throws a pick. And I got to tell you, Tua, maybe you go back and look at it. I don't know if I'd throw that again if I was you or not. I mean, I'm not so sure I would throw that. And I got a lot of Tua in the show today. His numbers were okay. I thought Mike's game plan, and the more I watched Tua, I realized Mike's game plan was really good. I'll explain. We can't throw the ball down the field. I don't know what happened to Tua. He threw another one of those whatever that thing is, down the middle between two guys and came up. I don't know, looked more like a short punt than it did a pass. Missed some throws on deeper routes down the side. I thought Waddle and Tyreek Hill, I thought Tyreek Hill was really good. I mean, he can't throw it to himself. He had another ball that was thrown too far outside and too late because didn't have any zip on it because he doesn't have any zip to throw on it. And it's a problem. Everybody's covering, you know, wondering. I come in here this morning. I just got off the plane and was able to get in here. And I wouldn't have missed this show for all the money in the world. Tua 22 of 34, 146 yards. Yeah. 22 completions, 146 yards, because everything we have to throw is short. And I give our guys credit. They actually caught some short passes, and Tyreek Hill, great effort, and Waddle getting separation, both of them, to move the chains. Didn't have big numbers. Didn't have Waddle, Tyreek Hill numbers that we're used to a couple years ago. 5 for 39 and 5 for 49 with some first downs in there. And you're going, Joe, geez, Tyreek Hill, fast man of football, less than 10 yards a catch. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, man, all he can do is run his routes. Ran some great routes. Waddle ran some great routes as well. And sometimes if things look a little shaky up front, he can't get him the ball. He just can't do it. I don't know what's going on. I could have sworn a couple years ago when he was throwing deep passes and getting them out in front where Tyreek could run under him. I don't know. I don't see those kind of throws anymore. Now, listen, you can blame the O-line if you want a little bit. I didn't think they were that bad. Hell, they actually ran the ball 130 times. I think a lot of people been asking to see more of Ollie Gordon II, and we got it. I really like Mike's play calling last night. I did. I know we can dogpile on Mike for a lot of things that drive you nuts, but I thought he's creative. And again, they got all the weapons. They got guys that can run on the outside. They're still good. They got Achan. I don't always like the way they get Achan the ball on constant swing passes because sometimes they get blown up for losses. If blocking's not real good out in front, or he's got to always break a tackle, which he breaks a lot of tackles one-on-one on the outside. But this goes back to you can't use your whole – now, some of it's the offensive line. Don't get me wrong. Some of it. But anybody that's just a cop-out, if you just come out and say, it's the offensive line, it's not Tua, then you're not watching the game. I don't know if he's beaten up from everything. I don't know what's going through the brain. He just doesn't have it. He just doesn't have it down the field. And I just figured out Mike's not going to make him throw stuff that he just can't do. And I think Mike's learning this thing that we just started talking about, like on deep throws, they might be short. So get ready to come back. It's kind of like years ago, they go, well, I'm going to throw it to the outside shoulder on the side. If you're well covered, it doesn't matter. You're going to have to throw the ball, and everybody's doing that. So I don't know if that's going to be a new thing where the quarterbacks, you know, go to throw it to a guy 50, 40, or 50 yards down the field and again, come up 10 yards short or not, or it kind of flutters the way that thing did last night. Somebody would have had a shotgun. They would have had a nice dinner for that pass down the middle. And I just realized Chris must know. Mike must know. Tua can't make all the throws you need to make for what the weapons you have. You got too much horsepower for that guy to drive. He can't drive the car. It's got too much horsepower. He can't handle it. Can't handle it. I know everybody, you know, two of this and two of that. Two is our guy. Two buying two of jerseys. Not. I watched it. You're going against the guy, and I know I'm comparing it to the guy he's playing against last night, who didn't have his greatest game. But it was damn good and fun to watch. Watch him zip it around, take off, penalty against him, runs up the middle, comes up about a yard short, what, on a first or second down after a penalty, and just runs up the middle and slides with that broken nose, although he did take a couple of big hits. Hey, there were a lot of guys played pretty good games last night. There were. There was a lot of guys had some good games, and we'll talk about those guys a little bit because they did by far play their best game. And they had a chance to either tie it or win it. By the way, we've said that about three or four times in the last 4 or 5 years up there because we lost on a 61-yard field goal last year. But coulda, woulda, shoulda, man, this thing's not about – this is not some small school getting a big check and they're coming in to play the big boys in college football and they get $1 million check and they lose by 10 and they go, hey, we were supposed to lose by 30. We feel pretty good. Let's head home. This is the NFL, man. This is the NFL. Now, there's reports that our owner is going to give this thing time and could be turning around and all those things. And saw guys before the game, and, boy, there was happy, happy, joy out there. The bonding before the game and some of our front office guys, you would have thought, man, they're all getting ready to go to a birthday party. So anyway, I don't think I'm kind of pissed. I hope they're a little pissed because if we think losing by 10 to Buffalo is that, hey, we didn't get blown out, covered the spread.
I just don't think they can play any better, Joe. Like, I don't have anything bad to say about them this morning. I think that's as good as they can play as a team, from the coaching to the on the field stuff. Like, I don't know that they are capable of doing any better.
Well,
they had a great game plan. I also thought Buffalo seemed to kind of have the game in cruise control, right? Like Buffalo didn't approach that game like they were playing a Ravens or something out there. They felt a little bit in cruise control in that game. Like they just were doing just enough to kind of win the game.
Well, they had a game plan to run it and throw short passes.
Yeah, I mean, they weren't going
just like the last two teams.
Yeah.
Well, by the way, it's like I swear, didn't it feel like they all copied each other's game plans?
Yeah, but I just don't feel like the Dolphins can play any better as a team. I thought they did just about as much as they could. I don't want to blame Zach Sealer, by the way, today, because they would have gotten the ball at the 2-yard line. There's no guarantee they march down and score. So, like, again, it's hard to just blame him. You want to blame? So again, you had the ball at the end late, and this guy does what he does.
So listen,
and I don't want to hear these excuses for the interception, like that soundbite we're playing. Everything's like an excuse.
Yes.
You know, the guy made a great the guy didn't make a great play. You threw it right to him.
Yes. Yes. He cut right in front of it.
I mean, come
and it
on,
wasn't
man.
Like he made some diving one-handed catch. I agree. I think we're all rolling our eyes when we heard that last night. So here's the deal. You're right, Woody.
You believe they can play it? I think that was it. That was the best shot they have to give.
If Tua wants to act, he's getting the money of a franchise quarterback. But if you want to act like one a little bit, you finish those games off and you go, I'm going to go down and Mike's going to have to make a decision whether we kick the extra point or we go for two. But it's not going to be because of me. I'm going to take the team down. He's had a chance now 3 times in the last 2 games. 3 times to go down and do it. And I'm sick of anybody out there wants to blame everybody else, from Mike's play calling. And I just realized last night it hit me, because Tyreek and Jalen actually played their ass off. I don't know how much. Did they show a lot of isolations on some of the stuff, those
they
guys?
Did. They did. They No, Joe, like those guys.
I hope they said good things about them, because those two, they were all in. They took themselves out a couple times after getting banged up and came right back in. And I know, you know, people, old schoolers, wish they would stay in the game all the time. But look at, man, you're a franchise quarterback. I don't want to hear about some guy came free and you had to throw around a guy. I watched Josh Allen throw around guys. He threw a sidearm. He was throwing them sidearm. He was doing those Mahomes flips last night. Like he's got to finish the frigging game. Let's stop making excuses for Tua.
I thought the offensive line played well last night.
I didn't think
they gave him more than enough time to throw the ball.
They did. They did take Keon out, by the way, which I think a lot of people are wondering why that didn't happen before the game. I don't know if he got injured or not, but so anyway, there was
seemed to hold up though, didn't it? I mean, I didn't see Tua taking a ton of shots back there. He was scrambling a little bit.
They actually were able to, like I said, run the ball.
Yeah.
You know, and I was glad to see finally. You know, it's so funny when I hear fans screaming and the media screaming about something, and then it happens. And that seems to happen a lot on this team. In fairness to our media guys, who some of you might not like, and you may have guys you like or not, but we've all been on this Ollie Gordon, like, you can't just run Achan and play Achan and throw it to Achan, and who got a bunch of targets last night, and run to Achan. And listen, he is special. He is a really good player. But the big back and the way they complement each other last night, running hard right up the middle. People, we've been screaming about that. Now, we got other problems, but it's good to see that one last night. And he got some carries. We saw him get carries. Now, I don't know what he did differently, like last night, to go, hey, you know, our media and our fan base might be onto something about me, you know. I mean, everybody's watching it, you know. I always say, man, people, you know, they can see with their own eyes, like, hey, why, we didn't have enough snaps. They made it a point. Mike made it a point last night to make sure the rookie got snaps. They ran the ball 25 times. And then again, this game plan, this past game looked a little bit like last year. It did. And I don't want to hear about too deep. The only thing I want to hear about that starts with a T is not too deep. I want to hear too, because that's the problem.
You got to take that out of the game plan right now, though, right? I mean, he, for whatever reason, like, he threw that one up again last night to Tyreek. Those things are just wobbly.
I said it three times this morning.
Yeah, those things are ugly. But, hey, man, look, the bottom line is you had a chance at the end of that game. Would you have 3 minutes left? You're on their 20?
Yes.
Like, that's all you can hope for in a game like that. They were massive underdogs that game.
You got all the time. Yeah, you got
all you could ask for last night.
Tied 14-14. You go in there. And, by the way, they were on their way to scoring the first three possessions before field goal kicker missed a short one for him. But hey, I give Dolphins credit. They came back and scored and tied it up. But again, this thing's not about I know there's still 14 games left. I understand that. There's still 14 games left, but you're still 0-3. And you can go, wow, we're getting better. We're gonna clean it up. We're playing hard, and there's a lot of good things. One thing I'm gonna tell you, one thing I'm concerned with is this Tua thing. I don't think he throws the ball. So here's the frustrating thing. For some reason, I keep thinking about the Washington Redskins game. And then a couple other games pop up where he's throwing it all over the field the Commanders. And he's throwing it down the field. And then, like, his throws don't even look close to how he used to throw it. Like, and his arm was never the strongest in the NFL. And
he looks like he's taking a step back, and people are saying that too. Like, something is, I don't know what's up, Joe, but yeah, it does.
I don't know either. But listen, man, you're playing the most important position, arguably, in sports. You got paid to play it at a high level, and you're not doing it. And you're not doing it. And physically, I don't know if you can.
Regardless, though, throw all that stuff out the window right now, because it doesn't even matter. It's like, you got the ball at the 20, you're driving up the field, and you make that massive mistake right on cue, man.
Yeah, Right. That, by the way, that throw has nothing to do with arm strength. I agree. More my frustration, another one might not have bothered you last night, but Tyree catches a ball, but he couldn't get his foot down. And he turned that guy around. That guy's so scared he's going to run by him. That guy took off three steps ahead of him they're racing. And you tell that little guy, the little buddy, he goes, well, you're a lot faster. And he goes, well, just take off and run, and I'll try to catch in. We'll race.
There were a few on the sideline where he seemed to just miss guys. And Herb Street did a nice job kind of breaking it down about his mechanics and, you know, all that stuff. But
I don't know about mechanics, but he is on a different page. Like, hey, and this is what happens when you can't, you know, throw it the way you need to, that it's all over, man. And again, Tyreek has been a target for a lot of things, but not last night, man. Anyway, we got to go to break. We got a lot of stuff to get to here this morning. I don't want to take away from that big game tomorrow. I'm going to call it my therapy game. Canes and Gators tomorrow night, College Game Day on campus. Tomorrow, probably in town right now. Herbie, man, Herbie jumped from Buffalo, got on a private plane, and
said he was flying in this morning. He had meetings at 9 a.m.
Yeah. So he'll be not a bad flight, 2:20, 2:30.
I think he's got his own plane, too.
Yeah, I think he does, I'm guessing.
Definitely not a bad flight.
I'm guessing. He could either be on the corporate somewhere between the Amazon plane, and which probably a nice jet, to the ESPN jet, and that's probably not a bad one either, or – you know what? The money he's making, he could just jump on his own right now. Charter a special one.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Taste of some of these big guys coming out hitting them. Like, all right, you think you're going to run around our guy? How about if you get a little taste of Landon Dickerson coming right down your throat?
Ayuk inside, touchdown. Samuel leading the way. Ayuk comes inside of him.
Woody, you're a bad, bad man, brother. It is a 9 o'clock hour on a Friday. And
we need a little laugh today.
Man. Yes, we do.
God. You know what's funny? I bet everyone in Miami is dragging ass this morning, right? Because everyone stayed up and watched. They kept you around till the end.
They teased you right to the end again for a second week. Like, hey, we might have a chance.
They did have a chance.
We might have. Well, no.
But apparently the linebacker made a great play.
Yeah, I am. Hey, I man. Remember. Maybe Tua can go back instead of giving everybody else credit and better and all that stuff and maybe just say, I need to be better. Kind of like I heard Zach Sealer say. I don't know. Hey, man, we.
Well, I mean, that play was all on him.
The
linebacker.
We can go on.
Out of nowhere,
and
Joe.
I'm guessing there's going to be a lot of conversations about Tua, but. And I don't care, free blitzer. You know what you have on your offensive line, okay? And it wasn't that bad. Offensive line was not that bad. It wasn't great, but it wasn't like everybody. It's like if you're a Tua fan, it's your go-to line. Well, get him an offensive line. Get him an offense. We keep bringing in. We got two new guards. One's injured. One's going through growing pains. Savainaya. At the left guard position. But at the end of the day, he is in the $50 million a year club, and he needs to play better. And Omar came on here, and if you missed it, I'm going to have it coming up for you, and said, yeah, Tyreek's got to come down with that ball down the middle. that fluff pass, that underthrown duck with two guys, one on each side of him, underthrown. The guy's 5'10". Oh, you know, that's one of the things he... No, listen, he runs 10 100 meters. He doesn't high jump 7'6". So...
Do you ever feel like you're watching a different game than some of these two people?
Some of these guys are like...
A couple of these guys that are just like, everything else is bad, but it's he's great.
Look at, man, he's a number one problem. Now go, oh, Joe Rose, you're stupid. The defense and this and that. Look, you've had a chance to either win or tie up a frigging game. And if you go for two last night, if you do score, maybe Mike does. Maybe Mike goes for two last night.
Look at you. You're finally coming over the dark side here, man. I love it.
I just.
You ready to start the other
Tua thing?
The rookie?
Hey, listen, man.
Monday night?
I don't want to get. No, I'm not that. I'm not there. I just want to see this guy play better. And take responsibility.
What do you mean by, when you say play better, you know that he's not capable of
all
that.
I know is Mike went back. Part of that game plan, the good part was all the short passes. Mike dialed up some really good stuff for Waddle to get separated. They got mismatches because guess what? They got really good receivers. From Malik Washington to Jalen Waddle to Tyreek Hill, they're still really good. So what's different? Tua can't get him the ball down the field. Some of those fluff throws on the deep comeback last night. What was that?
To what I said to you in the first segment of the show. I think
nobody wants to go. No, that's not on him. And then we're in a place because of Tyreek Hill and all the drama and all the stuff around him. You're going, well, Tyreek played his ass off yesterday. Well, Joe, but his numbers, it's not his fault on his numbers. He made a couple of catches short of a first down and ran for a first down on great effort. He didn't have to run all these shit short routes.
They didn't do Tyreek any favors by telling all his personal stuff during one of those sideline reports. But I'll go back to what I said at the beginning. I don't think the Dolphins are capable. I think that's the best game that they can play.
All right.
Don't you?
No.
I think from game plan, execution, all that stuff, that's about as good as they can play.
I don't know. They did get a lot better than they were in the first two games, considering who they played and how they played and having a chance.
I just don't know what they can do to be better than what we saw last night.
They had more guys play better, but again, they don't know how to win. This thing, you know, the number's going to pop up against winning teams, playoff teams on the road and at home. They're not very good. And last night added to that number.
You were there. Did you feel like the Dolphins ever really had a chance to win that game? It didn't feel that way.
I felt like they're going to tie it up again, and then the question was going to be:
was Josh Allen going to drive down the field and win it?
Was Mike going to go?
I'll go for two
or one.
I think you got to go for the.
Didn't you have to go for the win?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think it would have mattered.
Well, guess what? We'll never know.
Regardless, because you would have a couple minutes left for Josh Allen to drive down the field.
Listen, let's go to break here. We got Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk. We're going to talk to him for a little bit, and hopefully we'll get Omar Kelly on, and you hear what Omar had to say up there in Buffalo about the game last night. Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage. Hey, man, it's about getting a mortgage fast. You know, why would I use Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage? Well, you can get a mortgage super fast, get the best rates, which are, by the way, fixed rates in the fives right now. He's got a lot of great programs. If you're self-employed and you've been declined by the banks, he's got a great program for you. If you're a first-time home buyer, he's going to get you great rates and more importantly, get you pre-approved. So when you go out shopping, you already know what you're good for. So you get that home, you really like it, it's all set up, you're ready to go, you're ready to get the deal done. And then on top of that, I got to tell you, for senior citizens, of folks my age, they got some great programs for seniors, programs to convert your home equity into money. Got all that equity in your home. You paid that home off or almost off, and you got all that money. You could really use some of it. Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage. I'm just telling you right now, he's got great programs for everybody. Got hard money loans as well. If you're looking to pull some investment money out of one and put it into buying more, go to Google reviews on the web. Choice Mortgage reviews. Find out about all the things Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage has been doing for people here in South Florida for more than 30 years. Hey, I'm telling you right now, the man, he works all the time, 7 days a week. Call or text him, 561-441-2730. That's MLS 166254. Rates and terms subject to change daily without notice. He's an equal housing lender.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy back with you here. Take you guys up until 2. Sports Talk at WQM is sponsored by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days. Let me say that again with words. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $2.50 a month, Leroy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they say on the liner. Visit it at ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Yeah. Let me see. We've had a couple of callers. Be very patient. Francisco. Hello, Francisco.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
You tell me, what's buddy. That? How you feeling?
Hey, Leroy, you got to calm down, man. You're about to blow your pacemaker.
I don't have a pacemaker.
No, but my point is, Leroy, listen, I know I'm just a fan. You know, I don't know about the scouts. But when you pay $57 million a year quarterback, and he plays like Brock Purdy in his first year in the NFL, like $800,000, come on, you expect a lot more. Another thing is that you talk the defense about this and that and the other thing. They hold on. They made the plays, they made the stops, not all of them, and they make mistakes. You're going against a high, powerful offense in the league, one of the best. You expect them to make mistakes. We're playing second-string guys, and they still hold them up. But when your $57 million quarterback has the game on his hands, he cannot make the mistakes because you cannot be – put it like if you're in the offense and you're the highest-paid guy in the offense and you tell everybody else, hey, everybody's better than me, but you're the highest paid guy there, you're going to get fired in the spot.
See,
you cannot say that. You cannot be like, oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
You're good. Here's the bigger issue. People are putting money on how good you're supposed to be. Okay. And at that position, think of it this way. If you're a starting quarterback, you're going to make X amount of dollars. Simple as that. And that's how you have to look at it. $57 million doesn't mean that if you make $10 million more than Patrick Mahomes, that you're $10 million better than Patrick Mahomes. And I think that's how people view contracts.
Yeah, but the one thing I would say, Leroy, is that, and thanks, Francisco. I appreciate the call. We got to move on. But the one thing I would say to that is when you make that decision on the quarterback, you know it's going to be the biggest investment on your team. And so that's going to inevitably cause holes. And you know this GM, he can't fix holes as it is. So it's like you got to be able to cover up for something. Like there's got to be some cover up for some shortcomings. And he just – he doesn't. It's always like, well, that wasn't perfect. It's like, yeah, well – the reason they couldn't pay Robert Hunt is because they got to pay Tua. You know, like it all kind of goes together. And I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not saying that this whole season has been his fault. It definitely not. I literally can point to every phase of their football team having a hand in their losses. That's how it's been this year. Right. They've just been top to bottom a really, really bad football team with some flashes, but just the whole as a whole, we can agree. This has been probably like the most cohesive team to have a hand in an 0-3 start that I've ever seen.
Right.
And I just think with him, what people are looking for, because I do think there's a lot of people who do believe in him, they're just looking for that one moment. He gave that to us years back when he had his coming out party with Mike McDaniel against the Ravens. Mm-hmm. And they're just looking to feel that again. And you had with your team – In this, we all thought they were going to, I thought they were going to get boat raced. You know, you thought they could keep it closer, but we didn't think they were going to win. And they had the chance. They had the chance. And these guys, their captain defender, blunder, and their captain quarterback, blunder. And it's just like, come on, guys. Can we please one time get it together?
Here. How can I... You think this football team is average?
Oof, I don't even know.
No, hold on. And hear me out here. You think this team is average? Why then are you expecting above average things? You can't say this sucks, this sucks, this sucks, but then they don't come through when they're supposed to. Like, that is the epitome of
but
you can't do it frequently enough to win football.
Understood, but this is where I'm going to disagree with you. Like, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to watch games with expectations, or I watch the game as it goes along. So when I watch the game as it goes along, my mood goes from this defense sucks, they can't stop anybody, to, oh, offense has now got a break. They come through the play. They tie the game. They're showing guts. Like, I'm just riding the game as it goes, dude. Like, I'm not going to sit here and be like,
I understand that. If I said, why are the Dolphins 0-3, most would say Tua.
No, because I wouldn't say that.
Most money. Yeah, but that you wouldn't. And when I get into these arguments, not just on the radio, with everybody, the Dolphins are 0-3 because they don't have a quarterback. And I say, no, that's not accurate. And then they go, stop defending Tua. And I'm more along the lines of, regardless of what the team looks like, I watch a game and I want to know why this happened, right? And some of it can be attributed to the quarterback. Some of it can be attributed to that. But a lot of people see the money and go, it's on him. He's supposed to get us over the hump. And you got to – there's 32 starting quarterbacks in the NFL, right? Half of them are making over $50
million. I don't think that's
maybe
true.
Even more.
I don't think so. I don't think they're –
really?
Half of them are making $50 million?
And the only reason why is because their contracts aren't up yet. But so Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes,
mm-hmm.
Jared
Goff.
Jared Goff, Jacksonville quarterback.
Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence. You got, did I say Dak Prescott?
Yep.
Brock Purdy.
Now.
Jordan Love. We got, and I'm just working my way through the team, so bear with me. Justin Herbert.
Burrow.
Joe Burrow. That's about 10, right? Now, they're all different levels, because most people would say Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, right? Lamar.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's about 10. And they're all not equal.
No, but I would say, like, all of them and their team, like, right now with where they're at, like, the only one I would say that you have true regret probably overpaying is Tua. Like, that's the only guy out of all those where you're just like, oof, we blew it with that one. There was, like, some of that with Jared Goff week one, and then they put up a 50-burger, you know?
Right. Trevor Lawrence? No?
Trevor Lawrence is on the line there. Yeah, this is probably the last stand for him.
Right. He just got the contract, though. So
he got paid the same time as Tua did.
Right. So, like, the cost of having a starting quarterback is that. It's not that guy is this good. Like, yeah. I don't know.
But all of those guys know what the deal is. Like, they all know.
Correct. And Tua knows, too. Tua knows, too. Again, my whole conversation about all of this is not that you shouldn't feel a certain way towards Tua, but it's to kind of identify why these things are happening, what's going on in this football game. I'm not trying to disparage anybody, but the answer every week can't be Tua sucks. That's why the Dolphins lost, because that wasn't why they lost. And that's where I get frustrated, is that if you keep doing it, you're never going to realize there's other things going on that, again, if you want to get to the crux of why this team is so erratic, is because at your most important positions, you got guys who just got here Tuesday.
Does Marcos look like he drinks out of a tiny coffee cup and play bongos with poems?
Or he's getting ready to play chess at the park? Of course, with his little coffee.
Did you come up with the iPhone? You know, he had great analysis going on there.
Let me tell you, Marcos.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something about Tobin. Tobin will never say to me, let's move on. He won't say that. What he'll say is, does Marcos look like he has a little cup of coffee? That's his signal.
You would agree, though.
You see what I mean?
But you would agree, though.
Just a little cafecito.
It looks like you. No, not a cafecito. Like, you look like you have one of those French espressos. Okay. Like you have a plate under it.
Mm. Hey, somebody said, Leroy, you got to understand the difference between fans and analysts. Believe me, I do.
Handsome Daffy, what's up, man?
Exactly what I was going to say, man. How y'all doing this morning? I'm looking for the same thing, Leroy, man. Like, you are a ex-player, so you're going to view the game differently from fans, so you should not allow them to upset you. They're never going to see it the way you see it, especially Miami fans, because we have a lot of casual fans down here. They wake up,
watch
the highlights. Yeah, they wake up, they watch the highlights, and then that's how they break the game down. They ain't watch the entire game. But what I can say is, I'm over the Tua thing. Whatever. It is what it is at this point. I'm stuck on the bum that we have as a general manager. That's my gripe. My gripe is the front office, because that's where it starts from.
And you know what?
Is based off the front office.
And you know what? And from that standpoint, we are on the same page, because in the last 4 years, we've been talking about the offensive line, and the only guys that have been signed – to the offensive line are hurt for the last four years.
Everybody who signs, Leroy, they come in with a handicap sticker decal on their cars because they're unable to perform. Nah, you love those guys.
You guys are being rude, Handsome Davy, because just wait till Darren Waller's ready. Just you wait.
Oh, my
God. That guy is probably injured on the game Madden right now. He's never coming back. They just take him off.
Just enough of him already. Oh, man. All right. You got anything else for us, Handsome Daffy?
Nah, man. It's just the front office, man. Like, we're going to keep bashing, too. It is what it is. Leroy, you just got to prepare for those calls every Monday, man. Mm-hmm. It's always going to be about Tua. So you got to get used to it, bro.
At least we don't have it next Monday because Tua hurt us today.
But you know what's funny is that I don't just have these conversations here.
Right.
Because that's the easy way out. Right? The easy way out. And my question is that if the quarterback was different, would your team still be the same? Right?
How different?
Right, exactly.
How different? Like, what
are we
talking
about? Because you're
making
it sound like people, it's easy to go to one place. And here's the other thing. I'm not defending Tua. You're missing the point if that's what you think I'm doing. I'm not.
I don't think you guys realize Leroy was the one who initiated the suspension, not me.
And do people know that? Will you tell them what I said during the draft when Tua got drafted?
No, you didn't want Tua. I mean,
and why is that?
Because he was damaged goods, you said?
Yeah.
Whittle biddle baby hips?
So, what you said, so let's, no. No, so if you think I'm defending Tua, I'm not. Okay? But the reason why this team is what it is a bigger picture or a bigger explanation than one guy. You got a mass unit on your team with guys who never even put on a Dolphins uniform yet. That's a problem.
Oh, look who's entered the chat.
Cycle of Doom.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.